Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. I hope you are planning for 2018 to be a great year. Today we are working out of the book of Psalms, Psalm 148, which is a psalm of praise to God. Design thinking. It's one of the newest catchphrases out there right now. What is design thinking? Well, let's see if I can explain it in a way that I understand. Let me tell you a story. All of my life, I have always done a big part of my own maintenance and mechanical work on my own vehicles. Since I grew up on a farm and all of our equipment was quite used, and some of it could even be considered antique, my brothers and I all learned our way around a socket set and a welder. It was just that simple. If you farmed, you had to learn how to fix things and keep up your equipment. Maintaining and repairing your own equipment used to be something that most everyone could do themselves. Mechanical things were pretty straightforward, and the average guy could work on his own stuff. All he really needed was a good set of tools and a good measure of common sense. In the 70s, not long after I got out of high school, I was in the market for a pickup truck. Having just gotten married, though, money was not something we had much of. So finding a truck I could afford was a challenge. I asked several of my family members to keep their eyes open to see if there was anything out there I might be able to afford. And in a week or so, my cousin called me up and said he found something right in my price range. It was a 1956 Chevy C10 pickup. When I asked how much the guy wanted for it, my cousin didn't know, but he was sure we could get it cheap. When we went out to look at it for the first time, I understood why he thought that. The pickup was sitting in the yard of an old abandoned farmhouse with weeds and brush growing up all around it. It was also sitting under an old apple tree, and the bed was half full of a number of years' worth of rotten apples. We carefully popped the hood open to take a look at the engine, standing back in case there were hornets, and decided that most of it was there, however the carburetor was gone. Luckily, we found it laying in the seat in an old cardboard box in the cab. Someone had taken it apart, but all the parts appeared to be there. Needless to say, the old truck needed some work to put it back into running condition. Well, we made a deal with the owner and got it bought for $25. Then we got a chain and pulled it home behind my cousin's pickup. Now the real work began, and over the course of the next few months, and with lots of help from family and friends, I was able to get all of the mouse nests cleaned out of it, make the repairs, get it licensed, and back on the road once again. The beauty of that old 56 Chevy was its simplicity. I always said that it was a great car to work on because you could fix about anything on it with a few wrenches and a pair of pliers. You could easily get to and remove most everything in the engine compartment with no special tools. This was clearly a vehicle that was engineered with maintenance in mind as part of its design. Today, our automobiles are a bit more complicated. If you want to do your own mechanical work in this day and age, then you had better have a well-equipped shop, a laptop with all the necessary software, and a good shop manual. Fixing your own stuff has gotten a bit more complicated, but that's only half of the picture. One of the most maddening things about working on a car today is the lack of good engineering or design thinking that goes into them. All automotive engineers seem to care about today is how it looks and how quickly it goes together on the assembly line. They clearly do not have maintenance and repair in mind when they design today's automobiles. And if you've ever tried to work on one, you'll quickly understand what I mean. Pop the hood on the average car today and it looks like you took a 55-gallon drum of parts, dumped it into the engine compartment, and leveled them up, then slammed the hood quickly before anything could fall out. If you need to replace something like an alternator or a power steering pump on many cars, then get ready to dig. You often have to take off two or three other things just to get down to the part that you're needing to remove. Want a good example of a lack of design thinking? I once owned a 2000 Dodge Stratus that I purchased used. Overall, it was a great car. But not long after I bought it, the battery went bad and needed to be replaced. Now, most of you would say, no problem. Just about anyone can remove and install a battery, right? Well, the first thing I did was to pop the hood so I could take out the old battery and exchange it for a new one. So when I raised the hood and tried to locate the battery, guess what? No battery. Now, obviously, there had to be a battery in this car somewhere. But where? Well, guess what? To find the battery, I started tracing wires and figured out that it must be somewhere toward the rear of the car. I knew that some cars had moved the battery to the trunk compartment, so I popped open the trunk and pulled up the carpet, and what do you suppose I found? No battery. Finally, out of desperation, I got the owner's manual out of the glove box and looked up battery. And much to my astonishment, I learned that to get access to the battery in a 2000 Dodge Stratus, you must get out the jack, place it under the left front axle, jack the car up, and remove the front tire in order to get to the access panel so you can get to the battery, which is housed inside of the left front fender. And let me remind you that a battery is something that requires regular maintenance. Even so-called maintenance-free batteries should be checked every so often to see if the electrolyte is getting low and water needs to be added. I wanted to scream, what in the world were these guys thinking? This is clearly an example of a lack of design thinking. As I said, design thinking is something of a buzzword these days, but it is a concept that has always been around. Design thinking is not present when people buy things that are designed poorly or do not perform the task very well they were supposed to perform. To engineer a product that works is one thing, but to design a product that is intuitive, easy for the average consumer to use, and flawlessly performs the task it was designed to do is often harder to find. One writer put it this way. Designers get juiced by what they call wicked problems. They're called wicked problems not because they're evil or fundamentally bad, but because they are resistant to resolution. This is something Steve Jobs was really good at. The wicked problem? Produce a machine that computes, takes high-res photos, interfaces with the internet, can be used as a phone, provides video communication, and has an interface that is intuitive, so you don't have to learn a 500-page technical manual just to operate it. And then make it small enough to slip into a shirt pocket, light and thin enough to hardly notice it's there, and aesthetically pleasing to the eye. What is it? Why, the iPhone, of course. Excellence of design is what the psalmist is praising in our lesson for today. The author is mainly concerned with praise, does not list all of the wonders of creation. The psalmist is calling for all animate and inanimate objects in the universe to give praise to the designer. No one and nothing should keep silent, he says. Kings, princes, and all rulers, young men and women alike, and the old and the young together, they all should praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above all the earth and heaven. The psalmist holds the same opinion as we do, that the universe and all that is in it just didn't happen due to random chance. The Bible and philosophers throughout the ages have argued that what theologians call natural revelation points clearly to the existence of a designer and a good design. This being the beginning of a brand new year, let me ask, how did the last year go for you? Were you working from a good design? Are you interested in finding a better design to work with this year? This is the question posed by authors Bill Burnett and Dave Evans in their book, Designing Your Life, How to Build a Well-Lived, Joyful Life. But even if we would like to change, do things differently, go in a different direction or turn over a new leaf, we are sure to encounter some resistance. You will likely have what this book calls gravity problems. For example, you may be tired of the rat race and would just love to quit your job and take up oil painting instead. But unless you are independently wealthy, this is not an option for most of us. So, would we call this a situation or a problem? It's a fact few people ever make a living painting in this country. So, Burnett and Evans say that the problem you have is not a real problem. Why? Because in life design theory, if it's not something we can practically act upon, it's not a problem. It's a situation, a circumstance, a fact of life, something that cannot be changed, like the force of gravity. The Apostle Paul was trying to deal with something like this that was apparently also something that could not be changed. Three times we read, he prayed to God to remove this thorn from his side. And three times, God told him basically that it was not going to change, and he would simply have to live with it. My grace is sufficient for you, God tells him, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. So, according to Burnett and Evans, Paul did not have a problem, he had a situation. So, as we look forward to 2018, we can ask God, as Paul did, to help us identify the problems that might need a new design. And if we can resolve some of these problems in our lives, then we will be even more ready to join with all the rest of creation in giving praise to the designer. So to begin designing our life for 2018, we need to start where we are. To do this, we need to ask ourselves, how are things going? How are things going in the major areas in our lives, like work, health, love, play, faith? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate your satisfaction in these major areas of your life? If there are some things that need to change, are they gravity problems? Or is it possible to change them? In many cases, the answer will be yes. It is possible to change them. But to change them, we will need a plan that includes three basic tools: inspiration, new ideas, and implementation. We will need inspiration to help us identify a problem that needs to be solved or redesigned. We can see a problem as a barrier or an opportunity. And to solve a problem, we need ideas and new approaches to resolve the problem. We need new ideas, not just our own ideas. Many of the people in the Bible got their ideas from God. Perhaps we need also to ask God for ideas. They also listened to the people around them. Inspiration and collaboration are often where new, great ideas are birthed. Finally, we need implementation. Historically, starting out a new year has always been a time for change. This has always been a time to step back, evaluate, and plan to make some positive changes in our lives. So why not make some changes this year that really need to be made? As we begin a brand new year, why not focus a little more on the spiritual side of our lives and be open to God's leading us to be open to positive change and to new ideas? The psalmist reminds us that God is the designer and that all of creation should praise the designer for the beauty of the design and the magnificence of all that he has created. And what God did on a vast scale, God can also do on a smaller scale in our individual lives. We can apply the concept of design thinking to the problems in our own lives, or in our jobs, our marriages, and our relationships. We can work toward creating a positive design, one which means that we must be careful to stay within the parameters of biblical design. These are the boundaries set forth for living and for our conduct in God's Word. Designing our lives around these values will produce a life that is not only pleasing to God, but will bring joy and satisfaction into our own lives as well. So as we begin a brand new year, let's try staying more closely within God's design so that we may be salt and light. Amen.